It was September of 2012. I was on the beach in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, at sunset with the love of my life. And I remember feeling two things really strongly. First, I felt like I'm exactly where I want to be right now, in the one place in the world with the one person that I want to be with. But the second thing I felt was sick, because I wasn't sure there was going to be a way forward for us as a couple. I met Jose up here in Sioux City about a dozen years earlier. He was then, and still is, handsome, funny, affectionate. He's got this charming accent. It was love at first sight for me, for both of us, really. And we started dating, and after a few years, we got a home here together, and together we built a full, productive, happy life. Life was good. The living was easy, or so I thought. But what I didn't know is that sometime during this happy period, Jose's immigration visa had expired. So finally, on St. Patrick's Day 2012, he returned to Mexico. He packed a few bags that morning, kissed me goodbye, and took a bus from South Sioux down to where his parents live outside of Guadalajara. And when he left, and when he crossed the border from Texas into Mexico in that bus, he couldn't come back into the States at all, not even for a short visit. And when he left, he understood that that could happen. He knew that. I didn't fully understand, though. And we'd been living apart for a few months before I was able to actually go down and visit him in Puerto Vallarta. And during those 6 months, I came to understand how hopeless, really, our legal situation was. And I also learned during those months how lonely a three-story house can feel when you're the only person living in it. That a chair is still a chair, but a house is not a home. So when we sat on the beach watching the sunset, we kind of talked through our situation and tried to understand our options. Jose could not come back here at all. I could move to Mexico, but I couldn't earn a living there, and I wasn't able to retire anytime soon. So we could, cut our losses and walk away from this life we'd built together, or we could try to sustain some sort of long-distance relationship over 1,800 miles. I couldn't really see a path forward. And finally, I asked Jose, what do you think we should do? And he did what he always does, which is turn the question back on me. What do you think we should do? And I remember looking at him and looking at the sun as it was sinking out in the Pacific. And I remember feeling like my whole life hinged on whatever I would say next. And finally I said, I think we just need to keep loving each other. And then I waited to see what his response would be. And he didn't really say anything for a while, and I thought maybe I'd said the wrong thing. But then finally he said, I agree with you. He's a man of few words, but his words are like immigrants. They get the job done. So we decided we would do whatever we needed to do in order to spend the rest of our lives together, one way or another, one country or another, no matter what. The German philosopher Goethe wrote this. He wrote, at the moment of commitment, the entire universe conspires to assist you. And I'll be damned if shortly after we made that commitment to each other on the beach, a bunch of pretty serendipitous shit started happening in the universe. The Supreme Court announced that they were going to conduct a review of the constitutionality of the so-called Defense of Marriage Act. And Mexico legalized same-sex marriage in certain jurisdictions. And that made it possible for Jose and I to get married, which we did in Mexico City on March 27th, 2013, the exact same day that the Supreme Court was hearing oral arguments on the Defense of Marriage Act, which ultimately, a few months later, they actually overturned. And when they did, that ruling meant that we could begin the immigration process. So we filed our papers, and that was nearly 5 years ago now. We had to provide answers and evidence in response to their initial questions like, did we have a real marriage? You know, could we prove that we'd been in a committed relationship for the last 12 years like we claimed? Could we get testimonials from family and friends? Did we have a record of correspondence or any shared financial interests? So working with our immigration attorney, we got all that stuff together, we submitted it. We had to wait about a year and a half, and finally we heard back that our initial application was accepted, and they acknowledge my right as a U.S. citizen to sponsor Jose as my spouse for immigration. But he couldn't get his visa right away because he'd had the visa overstay earlier. So we had to apply at that point for what they call an extreme hardship waiver. And that involved another big pile of evidence like that. I had to prove on paper that our separation created extreme hardship for me, emotionally, physically, financially, socially. So I gathered all that information up and set it in to them. And after about another 18-month period, we got notice that the hardship waiver had been approved. So we thought, great, this means they're going to issue the visa. Jose will be able to come back up here and we can return to the good life together. But at the immigration visa interview, the consular office told Jose that his case was being put into what they call administrative review. These are not two words you want to hear. This is one of those two words expressions like venereal disease or breathalyzer test that you hope will never be applied to your life situation. In immigration circles, administrative review is known as the black hole because cases just disappear into there for years at a time, and that's what happened to us. They wouldn't tell us why his case had received that designation or how long it would take to do the review. We just had to wait, which we did. Another 2 years ticked by. Finally, we heard back. Now they wanted more documentation. This time about a period in the 1980s when Jose was living in Mexico with relatives. Also, could we document all instances of international travel either of us had engaged in the last 17 years? And could we verify dates, duties, and earnings from all employment? So we gather that information, we submit it to them, and we wait again. Over the past 5 years, Jose has had a total of 4 interviews at the U.S. Consul in Juarez, Mexico, one of the most dangerous cities in the world. We've spent many tens of thousands of dollars on legal fees, filing fees, document processing, and travel, but we're still separated. You know, we're still waiting. We're still spending way too little time together. Life is still pretty good, but the living ain't all that easy, to be honest. And sometimes I wonder if I had known how difficult this whole thing was going to be, would I have made the same decision I made on the beach that night in Puerto Vallarta? Would I still say, we just need to keep loving each other? But the only honest answer is yes, because there was no other real choice to make. Love is love, is love is love. You work through the difficulties. You adapt, you adjust, you persevere, you persist. You make your commitment, and then you make yourself believe that the universe, in its own good time, will finally conspire to assist you.
Brian Mathers shared his story at Oaks Live Storytelling event last month, supported by One Book, One Siouxland. We'll have all new true stories being told on stage this Friday at the Marquee in downtown Sioux City. The theme is belonging. The show starts at 7 p.m. with live music by Adrian Colbo, and there will also be a community art project on display inspired by stories of standing out, fitting in, and finding your way. Find tickets at kwit.org. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Ellie Carson.
When there's nothing left to lose, I can fly right if I choose. You can buy, but you can't wear my shoes. Cause I've got nothing left to lose. So I'm heading home to lick my wounds. And share with my family the news. I put some miles on these here shoes. I've got nothing left to lose. So hopped a midnight train down the coast. Well, I was still wrestling with your ghost. And I caught me a bad case of the blues. When I had nothing left to lose, spinning circles in the sand. And down came a guiding hand. To show me the way I was confused. I had nothing left to lose. When there's nothing left to lose. Well, you could fly right if you choose. Shame on me and shame on you. When there's nothing left to lose.